Our first reading from St. John's Revelation, the third chapter. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens to no one, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. From Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God.
Well, I bring grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the letter to the church in Philadelphia. It starts by giving some characteristics of who Jesus is. And I want to point out two key characteristics that are given to him. One is that he holds the key of David in his hand. And the other is that he opens and no one is able to shut, and he shuts and no one is able to open. You see, there is a door, there is a pathway to the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is glorious. The kingdom of God is where Jesus will come and he will gather his people to him. He will take his people up to his mountain, and we will be able to participate in the marriage feast of the Lamb, where we will eat all of the choice meats, have all of the choice wine, and everything that is good will be given to us. He will watch over us. He will protect us. He will be our king. Every tear will be wiped away. The sadness will be taken away from us. And Jesus will watch over us. He will protect us. He will swallow up death and quiet us with his love. But there is a door to this kingdom of heaven. See, this is not for everyone. Actually, the sad part is that it is exclusive. To some, the door is open. To those who believe and trust in Jesus, the door has been opened to them. But to many, the door is shut. And when the door is shut, no one can open it. But also, when the door is open, no one can shut it. You have that certainty of salvation. He has opened the door for those who believe and trust in him, and no one can shut it. Not even ourselves. That door has been opened to you. Just this past weekend, I was scrolling through Hulu trying to find something to watch, and I came across the movie Ghostbusters, which I was like, sure, why not? I'll throw it on. I decided to watch it, and something that I noticed that I never have when I was younger is that there are these two people. One is a man, one's a woman, and they both live in the same apartment complex. And every time the woman walks by, the man walks out, tries to talk to her, get her to come to this party that he's going to throw. But something that really caught my eye that I've never noticed before is that every time he walks out of his apartment, he locks himself out. Every single time. Now, maybe you shouldn't read too far into comedies, but I started thinking, how does he get back into his apartment? They're way too high up for him to go through a window. Maybe he's given a key to somebody else. But every time you see him knock on his own door with a little bit of despair that he is now locked outside. I'm sure that many of you have been locked out of your house. I have locked myself out of my apartment numerous times. And the immediate thought is always, I can solve this. I know what I can do. Maybe I left a back door open. Maybe there's a spare key. Maybe there's a window open I can crawl through. Maybe if I scale this tree and I can get up onto the roof, there's a... Ultimately, when you are truly locked out of your house, there is a bit of defeat. That you have to rely on somebody else. Ultimately, somebody else might have a key to your house, might have access. Or, if it's really bad, you might have to call a locksmith. But ultimately, you have to rely on somebody else. This is incredibly hard for us, especially as Americans. I mean, think about it. Everything in America is our choice. You get to choose which car you drive. You get to choose which house you live in, where your job is, what your job is. You get to choose doctor. You get to choose the politicians that will represent you. Everything is given to us as a choice. But salvation, this door, is ultimately out of our control. See, the second description is that Jesus is the one holding the key. Jesus is the one holding the key in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. Not only does he have the key, but he also says in the Gospel of John that he is the door. He is the way in. He holds all of the power. And ultimately, we are subject to him. Our salvation lies in the hands of Jesus alone, not of our own doing. We cannot solve this problem of salvation. Now, this key is also a reference to earlier in Revelation where it says the key is the key of death and the grave. So this depiction of Jesus holding that key, he is holding the power and the authority over death and the grave. See, next week, we're going to commemorate Good Friday, where Jesus suffers and dies for us. He ultimately goes to the cross, dies the death that we deserve, and is buried. But death doesn't have the last word on him. No, he rises from the dead. We know that Easter morning is coming, and he raises, and he holds that key of death and grave in his hand, and he holds all of the power. And the good news is that he did all of that for you and for me, so that the door would be open to us, that no one would shut it. It is only by his grace, his authority, his power, that we ultimately get to participate in the wondrous joys of His kingdom. Salvation, then, lies in the hands of Jesus. So He has control. There's another door. There's another door that is open that no one will shut. And this door is open to the city of Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia is a city that is a trade city. And in fact, it was known as the portway to the east. This is the way to get to the east. If you want to go there, everybody funneled in, which means you have tons of trade, tons of different cultures, people coming and going. And so this door that is open to them should be understood as the door of evangelism. It is wide open for the people that are there to go and to share this gospel, this good news that Jesus holds the keys of death in His hand. He has the power. He has the authority. And He is giving it to us. And that door is wide open for them, that they might share this good news with everybody. And what greater situation are they in than having all of these cultures funneling through them? Now, they're not criticized for not using the door, but they're also told that they are not using it to their fullest extent. There is more that can be done. See, the rest of the letter here then lays out what this evangelism then is. And I want to break it down as the twofold purpose of the Christian. The first is to hold to the doctrine of God. Hold fast to God's doctrine and hold it tight. Just like to Philadelphia, this is not a condemnation, but encouragement. Continue to hold fast to this true doctrine, the true teaching of Jesus that He has given to us. That means going to church. Going to church on Sunday. Right now we have these Wednesday services. Participating in Bible studies. Building one another up in the church, in the doctrine. Reading the scriptures, staying diligent in God's word. But don't just leave it there, engage it, grow in it. I encourage you to keep at it, that when questions pop up, to ask, to seek. Many of you might send your children to the Lutheran school here. Continue to foster that good doctrine, that pure doctrine. Continue to grow. The more we hold fast to true doctrine, the more we grow, the more it sends us out. See, this is the other side. I had my senior year theology teacher in high school. He always told us that our purpose is that we need to love God, love people, and share the gospel. How great is that? Love God. Hold on to His teaching. Hold on to what He has given to us. Because the world wants to take it away. The synagogue of Satan wants nothing more than to tell you that it doesn't matter. That, oh, that little thing, that's not important. Or you have it wrong. He wants nothing more than to take that doctrine from us. But Jesus says that holding fast to it, holding fast to the doctrine is holding fast to that crown of life. And that those people that try and take it away from you will fall down before you because Jesus has loved you. Next is to love people. Simply put, care for the material needs, the physical needs of those around you. Whether that's giving time to people, whether that's giving them your talents or your treasures, being there for one another, caring for one another, discipling one another. So often, just your presence can make such a difference in people's lives. Walking alongside someone, helping them when times are hard. And with that, too, comes sharing the gospel. Meeting the spiritual needs that they have. Telling them that what Jesus has done, that they have the forgiveness of sins, that Christ is the one in control. He has the keys of death, that death does not rule and reign this world, but that Jesus does. And that trusting in Him, having faith in Him, that is the door to His kingdom that cannot be shut or taken away. Jesus holds the power. So we meet the physical needs, we meet the spiritual needs, and we hold fast to that true doctrine. That is what it means to conquer, to be a pillar. Because when we hold fast to these things, when we hold fast to pure doctrine, and when we love our neighbor and we share the gospel, you will be rewarded. You will be a pillar in the temple of God. You will not depart from His presence. He will watch over you. And He is in control. The door to the kingdom of God is in Christ alone. And so hold true to that. Love God. Love people. Share the gospel. So that the crown of life will never be taken away from you. In Jesus' name, amen.